Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact John and Sandy at 856-227-9200 or hop on their website at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. For all your Central Florida scooter needs, contact Scooter Vacations at 866-778-4748 or hop on their website at scootervacations.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast, show number 102, and I'm joined by my good buddy Dennis. As always, how you doing, Dan?
Good, Doug. I'm doing good this week. Nice, beautiful weekend here in New England, and looking forward to sitting down for a little breakfast here and talk some Disney.
Yeah, it's starting to warm up around here. So if you guys getting a little too warm, you want to go on vacation, don't forget David's Vacation Club rentals. You can go down to Florida and even get hotter. Yeah. But at least you can enjoy yourself, cool off at one of the the pools, the water parks. I don't have that around my house. Do you, Dan?
Yeah. No, I don't. And as hot as it is down there, I'd still go. I'd do exactly what you said, though. I'd spend lots of time at the pool and in the villa enjoying the air conditioning. But not to be for me till the fall.
Nah, I'll tell you what. Well, it'll probably be summer for me. Is like I said, we're still in limbo. But once summer hits here, once that humidity kicks in, it's no different here than it is down there. So you might as well be down there, and at least you can enjoy yourself in the air condition.
Yeah, no doubt.
And on the rides.
Just a few short weeks ago, we were complaining about the cold. So I'm not going to complain about the heat.
You'll never hear me complain about the heat. I'll say it's hot, and I sat under a tree and grabbed an iced tea, but I won't. My rants on winter are like hours. It's to the point where the women in my life are looking at me cross-eyed, telling me to finally shut up about the cold. We get it. It's cold. So, I heard you were on another podcast this week. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I was on V24 Radio, Wonders of the World podcast with Kyle and Reed, the two gentlemen's names that I did the show with. Chris Reed, who is also on that show regularly, had a commitment and he couldn't make it, so I sat in with them guys, and we had a good time talking top five things, bucket list things to do outside the theme park. So that prompted a lot of good discussion, so I had fun with them guys, and perhaps in the future we may have one of them on our show, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to it. You say it usually comes out during the middle of the week, so as soon as it comes out, I'll download it, check it out.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of news going on this week, as usual with the world down there. So, and it's usually good news. So it's happy to look at the Disney news compared to all the other news going on in the world, you know?
Yeah, generally speaking.
Putting it in perspective.
Yeah. Except when maybe one of your favorite attractions closes or is going down for a refurb. Generally, it's good news when you read Disney news.
Well, we'll start off with some of the light stories that, as everybody knows, this week is July 4th, so coming up, and the monorail system is going to be working at extended hours as usual. The park hours have been extended, which, thank goodness, like we said, me and you wouldn't be there. I mean, we would go if that was the only week we could go, but we try to stay away from that time of year.
Yeah, I know quite a few people that have done the 4th of July over the years, and they all say the same thing. They're glad they did it, it's kind of a bucket list thing, but not something they would plan each and every year. It's if you don't appreciate crowds, you definitely don't want to be down there that time of year, because parks get filled to capacity and regularly closed, or at least the Magic Kingdom anyways.
Absolutely, and bumper to bumper, as you would say.
Yeah.
another little piece of news is Harambe Nights is totally sold out for July. You believe that already?
I do. I mean, as popular as these special events are, that doesn't surprise me. And actually, I'm glad, because in order for Disney to keep thinking of these things and coming up with more ways to add more magic to Disney World, they need to be successful and make money. So, I'm happy to hear that it is doing well, and everything I've read to date has been positive about the experience itself. So that's good to hear.
I'm happy, you know, I'm happy. Anything that goes well at the Animal Kingdom is good for me. It's a win-win for me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Cinderella's Royal Table is going to be closing for a 3-month refurbishment, closing down January 5th, reopening on March 7th. You know, the work's supposed to be complete on the 6th, and the Walt Disney knows exactly what day it's going to open. Me being in the construction business, they must be thinking it's a 2-month refurb and giving themselves a 3-month window to get it done.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like you said, you being in construction, and I'm around the construction business every day. You know, we all know that procuring materials is the toughest part. You know, maybe they do a lot of advance buying and make sure they have everything on site, because that's the one thing that can screw you up. You can have as many guys as you want, and you can plan, and you can do everything, but if for some reason your stuff is back ordered, that project ain't getting done.
Yeah, exactly. And the other problem I have is I don't care how expensive it is, what company you've ordered it from. I have had so many problems, and I don't know about you, Dan, with plumbing and electrical parts. It's everything, and I'm not trying to be upset at the manufacturing, and 90% of it's coming from China now.
Right.
And everything I get is missing parts or has broken parts in it. And I'm talking really expensive items, like when you're doing a bath remodel. We got this one faucet that was a $400-some faucet, and the whole the what you call it, the insert on the inside that controls it,
right,
was completely missing.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was a 2-week order, back order, and the thing, because if it's a special order, it ain't like you can go back to the store and just pick it up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I what did I order just the other week? I ordered some beechwood veneer, and I mean, it was 3 weeks, and I said to the guy on the phone, I said, look, I need this. I'll pay the upcharge, you know, ship it to me overnight. He says, nope, every order we get, whether it's one sheet or 1,000 sheets, goes in the queue, and we do it in order of when the orders came in, and there's no way to expedite it. So I know your frustration, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
It's all the time, and in a lot of the stores now, they rebox stuff, put it back in, they rewrap it like it was brand new, and then you get it home because they're not. There's no quality control of returns.
Yeah, that's the, you know, not to get off on a rant here, but that's one of the things I dislike about a Home Depot or Lowe's, because you always have the weekend warriors that buy stuff, don't know what they're buying, don't know what they're doing, and inevitably they take it apart and maybe forget to put a part back in, and you're right. They have folks at those places that, you know, package everything back up to make it, you know, to the untrained eye, you could never tell until you get it home and it's missing something.
Oh, absolutely. Another job, we hooked up a $300-some toilet, go to hook it up and go to set the tank on, all the parts inside the tank are missing.
Oh, boy. That's frustrating.
And now you already have it bolted to the floor and everything, so I'm going back to the store getting them to give me the inserts of the tank so I can rebuild it there, because I don't feel like taking it all back. You know,
yep.
You know what I mean? It's just – so that's what I'm saying. God bless Disney that they know exactly 3 months they're going to have this job done.
Well, I'm sure, you know, we talked about this when they were building New Fantasyland. You know, you got to believe, because they need to be open 365, maybe not 24/7, but – you know, there's people in that park doing something, whether the park's open or not. They almost have to be like that. I mean, they need to make commitments and, you know, hit target dates, because there's probably 7 other dominoes that rely on that particular task or renovation or refurb being complete, so that, you know, part B, C, and D can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure they make mistakes like everyone else. We just don't hear about them.
No, they got more people to pick up the pieces when things fall. That's my whole thing. I've told my wife, I've told you before off the air, that I would love to do a home improvement show just for the contractor, to show the homeowner exactly what we go through, because 90% of these TV shows are, we rebuild it in a week, a day, a night.
Right.
You know, they don't show 37 guys are in the back room and they got every part known to man. They got, you know, everything is set up, and, you know, it's just,
right.
It's not as easy as it looks when you tear a wall down and somebody else did something wrong, and you remodel a kitchen, you don't plan on that until you tear the wall down. And then the homeowner looks at you like you're ripping them off.
Right. And of course, I'm sure you run your business this way. You try to, you know, abide by the old saying, you know, the customer's always right, and you try to be accommodating, but you're right. It never goes as well as it does on TV. Like, you're right, when they have the homeowners there in the kitchen, then they say, okay, you're going away for the weekend or whatever, and Monday they come back and everything's done. I mean, you know, that just is not reality. Oddly enough,
no,
that's reality
not.
TV, though, but...
Yeah.
Not,
no, it's just... No, it's sad.
Makes the regular contractors look bad, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, they don't show when they rip the wall open that there's 15 junction boxes in the wall because the electrician was insane and, you know, a pipe is totally rotted out or a drain or, you know, because you don't see none of that stuff until you tear it apart.
I didn't know there was asbestos here.
No, exactly. But they think you're lying to them. Believe me, we want to get done, be on, and move on to the next customer. We don't want to drag our feet either. Longer we're there, the angrier you get.
Right. So, but Doug and Dennis Contractor Podcast. Yeah, there you
exactly.
go. We have to have a spinoff.
We should. Home Depot hate, we'll call.
Yeah, there you go.
Hate and Home Depot. But I'm excited about the refurb for the Royal Table. I hope they refurb the whole menu.
Yeah, right.
The quality of the food. I mean, the food was never horrible, but it's never worth what you're paying for that.
Right.
And we've gone off on that before.
Yeah, that's one of those bucket list things for me. I've never done that, and only because I only hear bad things about it. It's expensive and average. I mean, like you said, I wouldn't say it's bad, but everyone I talk to says it's, you know, unless you have a daughter that just has to see the princess, for that one-time photo shoot or whatever, it's probably not worth it. But I would like to do it. I mean, eating in the castle, I guess, is something that every Disney fan should do, I think.
We've eaten in there 3 times, but we haven't eaten in there in probably 3 or 4 years. It's been a while.
Right.
Like, I tried it the first time and said I'm going to try it again. First time was okay. The prices weren't crazy. That was probably about 10 years ago. It was good. It was decent, but it wasn't great. It wasn't what going in the castle should be, an experience like Le Cellier or, you know, Flying Fish. Or it wasn't that.
Right.
But it was good. It was okay. The experience looking out the window up in the castle, all that was incredible. You follow me? Just feeling that you were in there.
Yep.
Then the next couple times, it was just, this isn't worth it. But the princesses weren't roaming around upstairs. They were downstairs. You understand?
Yep.
Before you went up to dinner. And
yep.
It wasn't like... We haven't seen it in the last few years, so I don't know exactly how it's done now. But I know for the money, there's 50 other restaurants I'd rather eat at first.
Right. Right. I mean, again, it's the old saying, location, location, location. I mean, that's just something that is so unique. And you know, you're really paying for access to the castle more so than you are the food. But, you know, to your point, for the money they're charging – you know, that's a shame that they either skimp on the food quality or they don't think that the food quality's something that needs to be paramount with eating there, and I don't think that's right.
No, it's again, I didn't leave there like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever eaten, but it isn't like, oh, I can't wait to go back and eat. Oh my God, that steak was incredible or whatever I had.
Right.
But just, okay, I could get this quality at the local restaurant and pay quarter of the price. That's the way I feel. And if you have your little princesses that you're taking down there, you know, go over to Arkish's at Norway Pavilion and check out the princesses there, because that's where they're going to be when this is closed.
Yeah, and again, that's a restaurant. I haven't eaten there either, but for character dining, for access to the princesses, like you said, I mean, I hear nothing but good things about that place. So I think that that's a great recommendation. If your little princess wants to see the princesses, that's probably a better value and probably better food.
We ate there one time. I speak gooder English than you here in New Jersey. We ate there one time, me and my brother-in-law and all. We had lunch there. We had the lunch buffet. And it was absolutely – the food was incredible until my wife – of course, she's the one that always gets the hair in her face.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and she wouldn't say anything,
right.
And we never did. But it kind of – we were all having a wonderful time, and I look over at my wife, and her eyes are, like, you know, bugging out.
Yep.
And she found the hair, and it kind of ruined the day.
Yeah.
And I don't blame her, but it's like I feel sorry for her. It's like she seems like she always ends up getting the hair.
Right. And no matter how much you try to ignore it, once that happens, you just can't get it out of your mind. And you're right, it does kind of throw a damper on the meal.
Yeah, because we had that happen also over at the Coral Reef.
Right.
And I told you that story before, that I was with my three children, my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and my father.
Right, right.
They were at, like, three children that we get there. We're all going out to dinner. Instead of telling me before we get there that they're really not hungry, we sit down at the Coral Reef, and all three of them say, "We're just going to have a shrimp cocktail."
Uh-huh.
And me and my wife order these two big meals and feel like two idiots.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's like, well, why did we even come here? We, you're eating three shrimp cocktails.
We could have grabbed a snack somewhere or whatever.
Exactly. Now the waiter's already rolling his eyes at us. It was one of the, and we got unlucky enough to get a bad waiter that time. And then my wife gets a hair in her meal. It was like, my wife's like, "We're not saying nothing because it's going to feel like we're setting them up."
Right, right. Yeah, and you're right. He's aggravated because he's figuring, "Oh, this is going to be a lousy tip," and blah blah
yeah.
blah. Yeah, so it just sets the tone.
Yeah, so I end up giving 25% tip to make up for it,
right.
And not my wife couldn't finish her meal, and then I couldn't finish mine because I was felt bad for her. So next thing you know, Doug's buying a burger down the street.
So it ended up costing you. Yeah, it was an expensive meal for a whole lot of reasons.
Exactly, but you know, it's neither here, but I'll never forget it. We had a good view of the tank.
Yeah, right. No, that's important in that restaurant.
Absolutely. So, and then, you know, everybody knows operating hours will be extended through all the parks. I mentioned that. Are you excited about Frozen coming to the studios, Dan?
Yeah, I am. I mean, those that have listened to some of our previous podcasts, I mean, we both agree that the studios is lacking attractions and, you know, updated attractions. So the fact that this juggernaut of a movie is going to go in that park in a bunch of different ways, I think that's a good thing. The popularity of the movie and getting people out of the Magic Kingdom maybe and Epcot to a lesser degree and over to the studios is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of neat different stuff too. There's going to be, you know, you're going to see them, they're going to be riding in the parade there, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, then you're going to have, you know, they'll walk them, they'll be riding on a horse-drawn sleigh, what it will be, traveling across the Hollywood studios. For the first time, Frozen, they'll have a sing-along celebration there, which sounds pretty cool, in the Premiere Theater.
Yep.
Which, and then there's an area that's called Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to really do a whole bunch of diverse things. I mean, I'm looking at it here, too. Wandering Oaken's Trade and Post and Frozen Funland. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I guess to me this is a stopgap. You know, I commend them, I guess, for bridging.
Reacting so quickly, trying to get it rolling.
Take advantage of the popularity while the movie's white hot right now. Of course, you know, they can't build an attraction in a couple of months, but this will kind of, you know, give a presence to some of these characters in the park until they can get some attractions off the drawing board and actually into construction.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. I mean, they're going to even have fireworks every night at 9:45 p.m. out of the Sorcerer's Hat.
Nice.
Did you see that? That really seems cool. And Olaf, anytime I get to see Olaf is a good time.
Yeah, he's always he's always fun. And yeah, I was just trying to think real quickly while you were talking. So 9:45, and then when they run two Phantasmic, excuse me, usually goes at 10, right?
Yeah, it says at 9:45 each evening, the giant saucer Mickey hat on Hollywood Boulevard gets a full Frozen treatment with special projections of snow and ice images and an eye-opening spectacular above Hollywood Boulevard. Mm. Set to the film's soundtrack, the fireworks show will feature some special guests, including a magical appearance from Elsa, in which she will show how the power of flurries through the air and to the ground to produce magically ice blue and white gleaming fireworks.
Wow, that does sound good.
It sounds really good. And what's cool about it, when at crowded times, it'll actually, because if you see Fantasmic one night, you know, you're done. At least it draws a couple nights. You might want to go back to the studios. It'll free up wishes. It'll free up illuminations. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, with the Fantasmic shows being on and all, you know what I'm saying? You don't ever know when they're exactly playing all the time.
Right, and it's interesting that it says special projection, so it sounds like they're going to do what they do over at the Magic Kingdom when they project images onto the castle. They're going to do it right onto the Sorcerer's Hat, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds... I'm really excited about seeing it because we love the music. I mean, you know, I'm singing Do You Want to Build a Snowman in my head right now,
right,
just by us talking about that.
Right.
Then they're going to have a dance party from 5:30 to 9 p.m. each evening. A live band will take the stage to celebrate Frozen summer fun with contemporary songs and a few familiar tunes from the film. And there's going to be a lot of Frozen going on. It sounds like Frozen weekend.
Yeah. Instead of Star Wars, we're going to get Frozen weekends. No, I mean...
But I'll enjoy this more.
Oh, absolutely. It appeals to a broader spectrum of guests. And like I said, the movie is so popular, it's, I got to believe it's going to drive up attendance, and it should help the restaurants, because if people are going to stay for the fireworks at night, they're more apt to book an ADR at one of the restaurants. So it's a win-win for the studios over there. That's great.
And as of right now, FastPass Plus isn't supposed to be a part of it. You know, there's supposed to be Premier Theater, ice skating, and Sound Stage 1, a brand new Frozen fireworks show. I mean, there's all I mean, right now all this news is coming out. I can't wait to start seeing what's actually going on. You know what I mean?
Right. And when did you say this starts? Begins July 5th.
Yeah.
Oh, but there is a, let's see here, the fun begins.
The fun begins July 5th and will end until September 1st. And I'm sure, I don't know if it'll all end, do you?
Yeah, probably they'll take the more popular things and things that worked out well, and I got to believe they'll extend it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of skeptical that they're going to stop it unless something else is built between now and then.
Right, right. Who knows? Maybe they'll rotate things out. But like I said, this is great that they're, you know, in Disney terms, this is a quick turnaround from the movie being out, you know, what, last fall?
Yeah.
You know, to...
That's what I was going to say. This is unprecedented for Disney. They usually have everything planned, unless they knew that this film was going to be this big and this has been in the works for a year, because it's like I just said, it's unprecedented for them to rush to put something out like this.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the picture I'm looking at here, and the cast member that plays Elsa, she does most of the pictures, and I've seen her in the parade down there at the Magic Kingdom. Wow, she must be raking in the dough, I would think. I mean,
the overtime.
Well, yeah.
Unless she has a twin.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder how that works out. I mean, there's a set, you know, dollar value, I guess, for each position. But, I mean, as much as they need her, I would think, for these different things, and now with all these new things happening at the studios, they're either going to, you know, she's going to be working a lot of overtime, or they're really going to put out a countrywide search to try to, you know, find some more women or young girls that have those facial features to be able to do some of those roles.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's a twin, Dan.
Yeah, you never.
I'm not even being smart.
Yeah,
I mean,
know.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney tries to do that, hire twins because of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, there's just, I know with the parade, and I've seen, I've never been to the meet and greets, but I did look in over at Epcot there when they were over there, and every time I seem to look at a meet and greet or some parade or whatever, it seemed to be the same girl. But yeah, maybe it is a twin. Who knows?
No, I mean, for her sake, hopefully it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe.
Or somebody looks really similar to her.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I mean, being a face character, you have to be on spot, you know, the whole time you're on stage. I mean, you know, you got to be smiling, and her face must hurt by the end of her shift, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, mine is grimacing all day from what I do, so
right.
I'll trade with her a little bit to be in the kingdom all day.
There you go.
So, next thing up, then, did you hear about the two new VIP experiences for Disney World?
A little bit. You and I did discuss it offline on the phone yesterday. Why don't you outline it, Doug, and I'll chime in here.
There's two new VIP experiences. It's a 7-hour VIP day for guests wanting to experience a number of attractions geared towards their interest. The one is the ultimate day for a young family, and that's the first experience. And that starts off with you end up going over to the Magic Kingdom, and you get to do – you start off at the Magic Carpets of Aladdin. It's a small world. Peter Pan takes flight. Under the Sea, Journey of Little Mermaid, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, Barnstormer, Tomorrowland Speed, Lightway, and Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger. After departing Magic Kingdom, guests enjoy a table service lunch at one of the resorts. They didn't announce where, but it's at one of the resorts. Following lunch, it's off to the studios for Disney Junior Live on stage and a ride on Toy Story Mania. Then the day finishes with a trip to the Animal Kingdom to see Festival Lion King show and ride on the Kilimanjaro Safari. This is the kicker, then. The price is $299 plus tax, ages 3 and up. Reservation can be made up to 180 days in advance. And now it's also, from what I'm reading, is you have to have, these are the notes, check into the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant, photo ID is required, check in 15 minutes prior to start, guest under 18, must be accompanied by adult, ECVs are not permitted, photography is restricted in backstage areas. Tour is primarily a walking tour, and here's the final kicker: park admission and tickets are required.
Yeah, I'm looking at that too. So yeah, you're over $300 with the tax by the time you're done. You need a park admission.
Well, if it's a one day, it's four bills.
Wow. If you have a family of four, five, or more, I mean, unless you're independently wealthy, I just don't see how that's affordable. I mean, looking at it, price aside, if you were to say, you know, we're going to offer you this and it ain't going to cost you anything, I mean, it sounds awesome. I mean, to be able to do all those things with little or no weight, and you get a lunch at one of the resorts as part of it, I mean, that sounds great until you drop the price tag. And I guess the only solace here is that they do offer a 15% discount for AP holders, DVC yeah. members, and Disney Visa card holders.
Absolutely. That's the next thing I'm saying. And that's nice. And you're probably going to need your credit card to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
But the thing that gets me is, it might sound crazy. It might not be bad if it's like part of a 10-day vacation, so you can actually say, I used the last day ticket, which is only a couple dollars
right,
on top
right.
of it, and you wanted to go crazy. But, I mean, how do you afford, if you're even a family of two, an extra $800 to your trip?
Mm.
So, I mean, the only way it's feasible, if you're going for one day and you want to drop $1,000 just to get the stuff done.
Right. Yeah, and I'm looking here, too. It only runs on Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday, so you'd have mm-hmm. to kind of figure out your week or, you know, however long you're going to be there as to when you could fit this in. But, you know, I'll go back to my mantra. You know, I know we disagree on this issue, but, you know, as great as all this stuff is, I still feel that, you know, if we fast forward 5 years from now, almost all the good stuff, not all the good stuff, but, you know, anything that's, you know, over the top good, you'll be paying extra for it other than your park admission.
No, me and you don't disagree on this. See, and I'll read the other one first,
okay.
And then we
can
get into it. Now, and then there's also the Thrill Seekers one, where you get to go, you start off your day, it's another 7-hour tour. So basically, you have no time to do nothing else. You might be able to go over, if you have a hopper, might be able to go over to Illumination, because there's nothing at Epcot, and see Illuminations at the end of the night.
Right.
Unless it starts super early. But you start off at the Magic Kingdom, same thing, check in at Tomorrowland Terrace. But it started off at Big Thunder Mountain, then you go to Splash Mountain, then you go to Space Mountain, then over to Haunted Mansion, and then you get to be on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. After departing Magic Kingdom, guests will enjoy a table service lunch at one of the resorts, same thing. Then this, you're over after lunch, you go to the studios, you ride Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours. And then after that, you finish your day again at the Animal Kingdom with Expedition Everest and Dinosaur. I wonder why nothing from Epcot's in this.
Yeah, I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for it. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't have an answer. It's just, again, I'm looking at, while you were reading all that, Doug, I'm just looking at this. It's just the price point. It just seems like almost like a joke. Like they said, let's just slap a outrageous price tag on it and see what happens, and we'll adjust it from there. But I just can't imagine too many families or too many people, period, would do this.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, and I misspoke a little bit. I mean, I was exaggerating. It'd be 9 o'clock, but you start at 8:15, so you'll be done at 3. So you have time to go home, get a shower, and then go to another park that night.
Right.
But the thing of it is, I totally agree with you. All the same things apply. Both trips are identical with the notes, the photo ID, check-in 15 minutes. All that is the same for both tours.
Right.
And they both check in at the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. But anyway, I totally agree with you on this. I think Harambe Nights, and I think the extra at the Epcot where you do the wine and dine, the extra stuff for
The wine
that's
down.
all different stuff.
Right.
This is just how, this is basically like my elitist thing that I said that I don't think anybody staying at the Grand Floridian should have any more advantage than somebody staying at All Star or somebody that comes in for a 1 day ticket. I think everybody should have the same opportunity to ride the rides. And all I place this is it's an elitist fast pass.
Yeah, and you're right, Doug. And it's almost to me like it's a way around. You know, a lot of criticism is being hoisted at Universal Studios because you can pay extra if you stay in one of their resorts to get front of the line privileges. And I think this is, they've almost miscategorized it, I think. They're calling them tours.
Well, that's what they're calling it tours. They didn't miss, and I understand what you're getting at, but they didn't miscategorize it. They purposely did this to try to cover their butt. So they should just call it an ultimate park hopper with lunch.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
ultimate fast pass with lunch. I'm sorry.
Right.
And anybody who can afford this, it's wrong. I don't think there should be any privileges for you to have money. It's $100 to get in. So again, like I said, a guy like me or you, Dan, like we're going down there and we're just getting by and we spend our money on Disney and we're spending $100 a day or 300 and something a week, or you with your 4 or 5 with your annual pass and whatever. Yeah, it shouldn't be fair that somebody with an extra couple hundred dollars can do this.
Right, and it's one of those things. And thinking about this a little bit more, Doug, obviously this isn't for the average guest. This is for, you know, somebody that money is no object. That, you know, if you tell them you can get access to all these attractions with lunch, blah, 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 they wouldn't even bat an eye. Whether it costs $100 or $1,000, the money means nothing to them because they have so much of it. So those are the type of people that are going to take advantage of it. And you're right. You know, elitist, that's a good word. You know, Disney's offering it, so the people that
they're not wrong
right,
for doing it, but I think
exactly.
Disney's wrong by allowing it. It burns me up because you're already charging me $100 a day to get in here, and we always argue that we feel bad, but we do it. We don't try to criticize Disney for the park prices because, like we were talking about, like the other night, my sister-in-law and us were sitting down for dinner, and they're talking about how expensive it is for the Phillies to do fireworks.
Right.
They're doing them all weekend this weekend, 4 days. And I spoke up and said, yeah, and the prices they charge you at a Phillies game for a container of crab fries is $10.95. It's insane. The same fries at Chickie and Pete's down the shore in a big basket is $3.
Right.
That's how much they have to – Chickie and Pete's has to pay the Phillies to have their stand at the park.
Right.
So when people talk about Disney, I'll fight – and argue that I said Disney does fireworks at two parks every single night.
Right. Yeah.
How much is it costing them? So that's why your ticket is what your is and your live stage shows
right.
and all this other stuff. I argue for them. But now all of a sudden when you want to tell me that you could pay $2.99 and I've been standing in line all day because I can't afford another fast pass, that this rich guy and wife and family get to walk by me because he has more money than me, that ain't what Disney's about in my mind.
Right. Yeah, you know, and we'll probably never know because, as we all know, they don't typically release, you know, attendance figures or you know, stuff like that. So we'll never truly know how many people are actually taking advantage of this. But I got to believe that, you know, if they don't get you know, a threshold or a minimum threshold of people doing this that they would continue to do it. I mean, I doubt you'll be in line at Rock and Roller Coaster or something and you're going to see 150 people be led to the front of the line, you know, in front of you in the Fast Pass line. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but...
But even if it's 20 a day or 20 on those days, it's just 20 people that,
yeah,
just because they have money are better than me at that park. I don't think it's any... That is not what Disney's about.
Right.
Yeah, face it. I don't get to go to... I understand if I can't get in the restaurant or afford it, fine, you go there. But if I'm paying for something, once I paid for it, you shouldn't have more rights than me in the park. And that's what I'm saying. I'm staying on Disney property at All-Star Sports with my family of four. Just because I can't or I don't have the money right now to be at the Floridian, I don't think that person should get more fast passes, and I've argued this before. Now, they just found a way around it, a loophole, by saying this is a VIP tour.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. This is something extra. This is, you know, this isn't going to affect your family or your experience, other than, to your point, you know, there may be a chance you may have to wait longer in line or something like that. But, you know, the way they're looking at it is, for the most part, this is, you know, these people are choosing to pay for this experience, and it's not going to affect you.
And again, it wouldn't bother me if it was done like this, if it was extra magic hours, if they went in to the Magic Kingdom at 5 a.m., and got to do the rides until it opened.
Right.
And then left and then went to the Animal Kingdom at 7 when it closed and got to do the extra. You know, it wouldn't bother me because it's not part of my day. You're paying for something extra.
Right.
But no, you're taking away somebody else's experience by butting in line, by making that line. Because even though it's a fast pass, it still makes the line longer.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, one other interesting observation, or at least I think it is that I've read it here a couple times in the write-up about this. ECVs are not permitted, and I find that kind of strange because, not strange, but with all of the, you know, laws about, you know, handicap access and all that, I'm kind of surprised that they have that in there.
Yeah, it's probably the way the tour has to move in so many hours. They don't, you know, it's probably about timing.
Right.
That's all I could see, and I think it's wrong.
Right.
But I don't, I mean, and you know me, I'm usually, like, Harambee Nights, I was beating the drum for it.
Right.
Because I like, that's an extra thing.
Right.
You know, it's like, if you, it wouldn't be fair, like, if we all paid $100 for a meal, and you're all sitting at the same table, and then somebody else brings in filet mignon and sits it next to you, and your family's seeing it, and you're in the same restaurant,
right.
I don't think it's hard to explain. I don't know if that's a good
analogy.
You know,
yeah.
Analogy, but it's just the point. I've already paid for that.
Well, like I said, and I know it's not an apple to an apple, the Harambee Nights versus these Ultimate Day of Thrills tours, but again, I think they are similar in that they're offering, you know, premium experiences for extra money, whether it's during the normal park hours, after the normal park hours. But as these things become successful, as we said, Harambee Nights appears to be, we're going to get more and more of them. And it's, in my view, it's going to cut into either the hours in which you can experience a park. They'll close early, you know, just like the Mickey's Not So Scary and all that stuff. Again, cumulatively, you know, one of them in it by itself is probably not a big deal, but when you sit back and look, and you know, I gotta believe there's gonna be more of this stuff that's gonna start coming out, and eventually it's gonna deteriorate and erode your, you know,
yeah,
your
it's,
experience.
It's turning it back into a park that you used to buy tickets for everything.
Yeah.
And everything costs more tickets, so what's it going to go to?
Right.
Eventually. Oh, you could pay this much extra to be able to do Tower of Terror. It's going to cost you 12 tickets for Tower, where it costs you 5 for Toy Story. I mean, it's basically what it's getting to. It's getting to a tiered system again with what you get to go on with your park admission.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe this is just their devious way to put this out there and just see what the buzz is, see how people react. You know what I mean? Just to see... You know, if they catch a lot of flack or if people ignore it and just kind of say, well, you know, it's not going to affect me by and large, so I really don't care, or whether people are really upset over it. I mean, the price, you know, you'd almost think they'd you know, bring it in at a lower price point. It just seems outrageously high, almost on purpose, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, well, they better it's a sit-down restaurant, so I guess 100 of it they're figuring, or I'm sorry, 50 of it is food.
Right, but they take you to a resort. That's interesting too. So it isn't a restaurant within the park that you're at. It says
They
specifically.
probably take you over to the Wave, Ohana,
Yeah.
at the one of the monorail, you would think.
Maybe the All-Star Movies food court.
No,
No,
it's a sit
I
down.
know, I
You ain't
know.
getting that, but I get you. It's just the point that this is one of those things that I don't like. I know that they've talked about it on Be Our Guest, and some of them like the idea of being able to get like feel that you should get more with the better resort, and because I listen to their shows on this and other shows, and I've always felt equal is equal. I mean, I don't think a kid staying at Pop Century with his parents, like you're there with your two daughters and you want to go see Anna Elsa, and somebody staying in the Grand Floridian is there with their two daughters and you're all standing in line. Those kids don't know what in their eyes, their father's everything. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
So then all of a sudden you're standing there with your kid and this other father gets to walk further. Hey, we're both staying at Disney. It's supposed to be the happiest place on earth.
Right.
Why do they get to go ahead of the line?
Yeah, it's a real touchy subject. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking, again, everything is choice. I mean, that's why they have value resorts and they have the deluxe resorts. I mean, you might say, well, it's not fair that, somebody gets to stay in a 3-room villa and somebody else has to cram their family into a little 1-bedroom small room over at All Star Movies or Sports or something. But I understand what you're saying. That's a choice that we all make in order to go to Disney.
But what I'm saying is, when it's all said and done, we're all on property. Once the idea of in the park is all we're equal.
Right.
That's what the whole park is to me. It's like everybody's happy. That's why it's the happiest place on earth, because nobody feel the more you start slighting people, the less of the happiest place on earth it's going to become.
Well, that's why this is interesting. This is a crossroads, and this is like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how this is received, and then secondly, how many more of these things they do. I mean, if this is pretty much it, and the Harambe Nights, and other than that, we pretty much go back to the way it was, if you will, at Disney World. I don't think it's a big deal. But in the next couple of years, if 3 or 4 or 5 of these event type things and start coming out, and like I said, cutting into the hours available at a particular park because they're shutting down early in order to do some of these things, then it is affecting your vacation and my vacation, and there's going to be a lot of unhappy people, I think.
I'm totally not. This is the one where this was my not my breaking point as far as I'm not going back, blah blah blah, but it's just my breaking point as far as Disney stop. I mean, how much to $1,600 and you and then just is that what it costs to make people feel better? I
Yeah,
mean, it's just wrong. I just think it's 100% wrong. I feel like what's his name on the Diz Unplugged?
oh, Kevin.
Pete Warner.
Oh,
No,
Pete.
Pete
Yeah.
Warner. I feel like Pete. I'm going on my yelling spree
You're
here,
going
but
on a rant.
I'm angry and I don't like it. I just think it's so everything that Disney shouldn't be.
Well, like I said, the future, the near future, will hold the answer whether or not these things are going to be with us and continue to expand or kind of dry up on the vine and go away. I hope it's the latter.
Yeah, me too. Because I'm very. This is a one where I will say I'm very disappointed on for this.
Well, we shall see.
So, next little piece of news is Doug's still mad at the ticket, this special ticket for.
Wow, you're in a good mood today.
No, I'm not happy about that at all, Dan. Not happy at all. I just wanted to put out there, we're getting ready to go under some changes. The website's still going to be the same, everybody, the www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. But we have a blogcast provider that carries our podcast every week. And it's called Quick Blogcast. And it's no longer going to exist. So I have to transfer all of our files over to WordPress. It's another company, which I hate giving them any kind of plugs, which is his advertisement. But I got my work ahead of me, so please be patient with us. We're hoping to continue to have the shows out every week. We might go offline for a week, but please bear with us. Follow us on Twitter at WDW Magical Main Street Memories or WDW Magic online, or follow Dennis at Oak Manor or me at Grumpy67 or get over on our Facebook page. So and follow it, and we'll give updates on what's going on if the show does go dark for a week until the files are transferred. Because I don't know what's going to happen because iTunes, I have to resubmit a feed through the WordPress feed, and I have no idea what's going to happen. I could build you a house faster than I could transfer this site. Let me tell you. And that's the God's honest truth of what I've been going through.
Yeah, it's, I'm glad you brought this up, Doug. I know we touched on it last week's show, but you know, Doug does a great job at all the tech stuff on our site and keeping everything running. And this is a difficult thing. I mean, we're both, you know, in construction, like we said, and computers is kind of like a second language to us, if you will. Some folks out there that are listening that, you know, work with computers day in and day out, you know, maybe chuckling, saying, gee, it's not that difficult. But, you know, this is a challenge for us, and we've you know, we got some good traction. We you know, our followers have been going up. Our podcasts, we like to think, are getting better and better each week. So we're really hitting our stride here. And unfortunately, this is not a choice we have. We have to do this in order to comply with our server, the company we're using to put all our stuff out. So again, I'll echo Doug's sentiments that we hope to minimize the disruption. Hopefully, there's none at all, but if there is, it'll be as short as possible, and we appreciate your patience during this transition time.
Yeah, because there might be a whole, from what I'm understanding, there's going to be a whole new feed, and I'm hoping that all you guys that subscribe to us will continue to receive the feed. So please, we appreciate every one of you. Our subscriptions have never been higher. Our downloads have been going really well. I mean, the people that are following us, I can't even believe you guys are following us, and thank you so very much. And we don't want to lose any of you guys. So if the feed has to change, we will let you know. And please continue to follow and come to the website for all updates. They will be on there. The website will not be affected. It's just the podcast itself. Because the company decided they're not going to be around anymore. So we had no choice because we were happy with the provider. We had no problems with it. But supposedly they switched to this other program because it's supposed to be better. And I didn't need it to be any better. I was happy with what it was.
Yeah, nobody likes change, and especially in this business, because, you know, you finally figure something out and you get it working, you know, fairly regularly, and then boom, you got to kind of change it and learn a whole new language, or at least that's how I look at it. It's just like you're all thumbs. You don't really know how to do it, and you got to figure it out. So
no.
You know.
And this ain't my full-time job, which I wish it was.
Right.
Construction's my full-time job. I do travel. I work for the travel and do this. So it's kind of like I was at the computer last week for 8 hours on the phone and doing stuff. I got all the files transferred. Now I got to upload them. So please be patient with us, guys. We really appreciate it. Email us if you need to contact us. Our email is wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. Again, wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. It's on the website. Everything's hooked up with that. So please send us your emails, contact us on Twitter, Facebook, and thank you guys again. Anything else, Dan?
No, that's pretty much it.
And you guys have a wonderful week, and we hope to be on the air with you guys next weekend. And thanks again. Well, guys, that's the show for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel and Scooter Vacations. And I hope you guys tune in again next week. And thanks again. So long.